Welcome to the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. And Courtney, welcome.
Thanks so much.
Big day, opening day. Princeton's at Rider tonight, 7 o'clock. What's the emotion that you feel? And is it the same as every other opening day for you? Or does it change over time? How's that go?
You know, the emotion is we're finally wearing the same color and the excitement that that brings. You know, last time we did that was in March. So, yeah, there's a ton of excitement. There's also the coach in me recognizes this is one of a very long journey. And so, you know, you quickly forget about the games you played in early November. But right now, because we're in early November, it's an exciting time.
Do you remember your first game ever as a college player and what you were thinking?
I do. Yeah, I do. I was, you know, I saw this thing on social media that said, you know, freshmen worry about playing time, whereas seniors worry about winning. Yeah, I think I fit in that model pretty well. I just wanted to play and I wanted to contribute. My freshman had that first game and I actually, you know, had a really good freshman game and it catapulted to a pretty good career.
Do you remember who it was against?
I do, Army.
And how many points?
18.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the most amazing thing about Bill Bradley's career here is?
What?
What was your career high?
31.
Okay, so Bill
Bradley. I'm sorry, 39, senior night.
Against?
Harvard.
How'd you do against Princeton? Do you remember?
We're 8-0.
No, I mean like you as a player.
Well, they ran this junk defense on us 1 year, but no, I don't really remember. They weren't quite in the conversation as much as the Dartmouth deal.
So Bill Bradley, getting back to him for a minute, his career high is 58, which was in the 1965 third place game. And he has the top 11 scoring games in Princeton history. He's the only player to ever have 40 points in a game. He did that 11 times. You know, he has all these records. But like to me, maybe the most fascinating thing is his career low. He never in 3 years, and this is out of three-point shot, and this is presumably with every defense completely fixated on him, never had less than 16 in a game.
Wow. That is unbelievable. I would never have guessed.
I know. Like you would have figured one night.
Right, of course.
Somebody would have, I mean, teams did hold the ball on them, but you would have thought that somebody held the ball or put four guys on him. Like
yeah.
Steph Curry got shut out one night. Remember that?
Yeah, of course.
They lost by like 60.
Exactly.
But they like had three guys guard Steph Curry.
That was wow, 16. That's eight hoops.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but let's get back to your team. So it's before we get to your team, were you at the football game?
I was.
What did you think?
Well, first of all, it was a great game. The weather was awesome. The crowd was great.
Dartmouth brought a lot of people.
Yeah. And there were a lot of alums from older generations as well as most recent alums had come back for the game. And neat that the energy for the environment, it was a great game, a great day. I was a little nervous, way too nervous throughout, but I feel good now.
Can you take anything away from that? You know, the whole idea that you have a team that has gotten all this attention for its offense all year,
mm-hmm.
that when it ran into a team that also had a huge offense, but both teams also have big defenses, but when it ran into like another, you know, top flight defense, it was defense that won, or is that just how that game played out? Is there any correlations to basketball?
Yeah, I think you say you're reminded about the coaching staff at Princeton and how, you know, we're watching the 66-0 Cornell game and we're watching the offense, right? But the coaching staff's not. They're watching all pieces of it. And some games call for different things, and it just shows you the well-roundedness of the team, but also the diverse focus of the coaching staff. They're ready for sort of any – if they've got to win on special teams, I'm sure the special team coaches are prepared to do that too.
So let's talk about your team. And let's start with Bella Allery, yeah. who is out for a little while.
For a little, thank God, only a little while longer. It's been a while now.
So, you know, I'm a silver lining kind of guy,
yeah.
and you mentioned that it's early November, and you know, there's a few positives that come out of having mm-hmm. this. One is you're going to force other people to step up and see what they have.
Mm-hmm.
I presume because somebody has to do what Bella does,
no doubt.
And that's one silver lining. And then the other silver lining is, when she comes back, she'll be a little fresher than everybody else.
You're right, yeah. And she's, you know, it's her right hand, so she's been doing a lot of, she's already back in workouts doing a lot with her left hand, and that's an area of growth for her. She grew a lot this summer in that area, but added growth there. And you're giving, as you said, you're giving young people incredible game experience. You know, you get better in practice, but you get more experienced in games. And so starting tonight, there's going to be a very inexperienced group out there that's minute by minute gaining experience, which will bode well, I think, for the future.
Does, you know, I mean, obviously without having Bella, you can't have a rotation set. But, like, do you have in your mind what your rotation is? Because, like, I thought that was one of the big advantages your team had last year is that from day one you knew mm-hmm. who was where.
Yeah.
You can't really have that right now,
No, you can't. And, you know, even someone who's playing really well for us, Taylor Bauer, at the five spot, I mean, she – missed her whole freshman year with an ACL and was kind of getting back into it last year. And so even our experienced and age players are pretty inexperienced. So we're just going to, I'm going to be there for him for the ebbs and flows of gaining that experience. I really have enjoyed this group. I know Bella also, she makes up for a lot on offense and defense, and we've had to be sharper because we don't have that. So it's almost, to be honest, like you said, there is a silver lining. I mean, we have to, our young people and our inexperienced players are way better because they haven't been able to lean on either end, Bella.
Is it almost more fun that way? Like,
you know, it's always fun on game day to have your best players.
Right. You obviously don't want your – maybe fun's the wrong word. Yeah. But is it – you know, is it
– It's more settling, right, because you know what you have, right? And so for right now, you know, we've got some unknowns. But we also – you know, when Bella can block every shot once you get beat, it's less important that you guard your own, right? Or if late shot clock, you can just sort of throw it up in the air to her. You can't do that right now. So to watch our young team sort of come together without – some of those sort of unfair advantages that we have with Bella, I think we're going to be a better team when she comes back. And then, of course, she will remain our best player, but we'll have better pieces around her.
So let's go back to your first game as a head coach here.
Oh, you remember that schedule I had, right? So I had to play Maryland at Maryland for my first game. And I remember saying to my parents, this is an exciting time. You should come to my first game. And they were like, I don't think we're going to hit that one. And that same year we had Cal and Vanderbilt, and it's a tough year.
It was a bit of a growing process, but it didn't take you very long to get to 500 after that the next year, and then 26 and three the next year. And like, you know, since then, it's been all NCAAs and two NITs mixed in. But if you think back to where you were as a head coach then, mm-hmm. and now in your 11th season, where you are now, is it night and day? Are you the same thing? What's the one thing you've learned, or the two things that you've learned?
I think I've mostly, the biggest growth I've made is on the floor. You know, the adjustments, the game has really slowed down for me. So I'm able to understand how to counter certain actions and how to pick on certain things that the other team is doing quicker. That's been just by a ton of hard work. And I think what thing that's remained more similar, I think, is that I've always been relational. So it's always been my biggest advantage. So I think my players have always trusted me, and I've been able to push them further than they want. Probably another learning curve, and that I've gotten a lot better in, is just understanding, you know, reading my group as opposed to getting through my list, right? So there are certain things we don't do, we haven't even done yet for this team, because it's not important. What's important is that we're good at what we do. So I think I've grown so much as a coach. I'm almost embarrassed that I was the coach here 11 years ago for how much better I am now.
So if you were going to give a piece of advice to somebody who was, if you this is a big thing now, but like letters to my, you know, whatever self,
yeah.
If you were going to do that to, you know, the coach you were then, what would have been the one thing you would have said to yourself?
I would have said, you know, get the job and take it, because you get to learn on the job, as opposed to so much of being a head coach, you have to learn on the job. But I also couldn't be more emphatic about saying, just put the work in. You know, it didn't come easy for me to break down film. It didn't come easy for me to understand, to slow the game down in live play. And I have a really good read on it now. I feel very confident in that part of the in-game coaching. And that's just with, I watch over 1,000 basketball games a year, and I chart them, and I live scout them, and it's through a lot of work. So just put the work in, just like you want your players to.
So the opener is tonight at Ryder, 7 o'clock tip. How much are you focused on what Ryder does? How much are you focused on what you do for game one? Obviously, you've scouted the other team and you have a scouting report, but are you just so focused on what you do? And
you know, it's always a blend. It's a blend in part with your experience. So we don't have days to waste on what we think Ryder might do based on last year, because we have to get better at ball screen defense, and which is what they've always done. So we did spend a lot of time on ball screen defense and things like that. But I've always sort of said we have to be a good version of ourselves, and then some tweaks accordingly based on what we're about to see on either side of the ball. So I would say this particular game, I'd like to say, as our staff has always said, we need to win them some games with how we scout. So we'd put an enormous amount of time into the scout. But with this young team, I want them to really feel good about our package. And so I solidified some things and simplified some things. And it was probably 50-50 still the last 2 days.
So without Bella out there, do you worry that Carly Littlefield tries to do too much?
There's no such thing as Carly Littlefield doing too much. No, I think she's become a real three-layer player, you know, and again, with...
puts too much pressure on herself or feels like she's the one who has to pick up the slack, or
she's her natural inclination is to deflect and to share the ball with others and to be a distributor. So I don't think we'll ever ebb in the flow of that. And she's such a competitor and such a coachable kid that no, I think it's, you know, you still have the seniors in, Kalea will be out tonight, but you still have the seniors in Rush,
Gabrielle and Sydney Jordan.
Yeah. And you've got those guys that are, they have a lot of experience and they're really talented. And then you still have, you know, a Taylor Bauer who's much better. And then you have Carly. So we still have a lot of good players and a lot of talented freshmen. It's just not the players that this podcast group is yet ready for, but they will be, they'll like them as the season goes on for sure.
So I'm assuming your freshmen are going to have to play some minutes right off
for
the bat.
For sure. Yeah. In our 10 person, you know, we are going to dress 10 tonight, and I would assume all 10 will play.
Talk a little bit about the freshmen, where they are, maybe one or two who you think might see the most time, if there is one or two.
Yeah, they're so different. So Gray Stone, the kid from Long Island, she's very much a Princeton player. She can play everywhere. She's a really versatile player, distributor, big, strong body. So we kind of have that big guard or that small forward, however we want her to be defined. And then you have Julie Cunningham, the local kid here from New Jersey, who's just a really gifted scorer, great length. And then you've got Maggie Connolly, who's a backup point guard. So that's obviously a very important position on this team, given that. And then Kira Emsbo, the kid from Colorado, who's taller than Bella, about 6'5". She uses her length really well, and she's really versatile, with her speed at that position. So, you know, Lexi's been dealing with a little bit of an injury, and then Nina Young from California, she's like a anti-ter action. She can really shoot it. So, you know, they're all very different. That's why they're here. I'm excited about all of them, and we're going to see really soon what they're made of.
And then it's a quick turnaround to Sunday. It's not a hugely quick turnaround, but it's two games the first week is a better way to say it. And the first trip to George Washington.
Yeah.
Do you go Sunday or do you go Saturday?
We're going to leave Saturday. It's actually really neat. Whitney Downs, who's now Whitney Hermann-Dorfer, is used to be she was a class of 09, and she was actually the clerk for Brett Kavanaugh, ironically. She was the valedictorian of the GW Law School. And she is going to give us a private tour of the Supreme Court on Saturday, and then we'll practice at GW on Saturday afternoon, and then we'll all have dinner at Bella's house Saturday night. And then, of course, Sunday, get ready for the game. So we're going to leave Saturday early morning and kind of start our day and make a neat experience out of it.
That's a pretty great trip.
Yeah.
Hermann-Dorfer?
Yeah.
The lacrosse club?
Yeah,
football kid?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, lacrosse guy.
Not a kid, obviously.
That's the thing that these people don't realize who are listening. So most people, when they prepare for a podcast, most people that prepare for a podcast, Jerry, they have like all these notes out and they have all these stats. And people that are listening, you know, when Jerry remembers our 26-3 third year or our, you know, there's no stats in front of him. He's just like, it's amazing to me, and knowing you for 12 years, how much Princeton athletics knowledge you have wasted your brain space with. Because this is the first podcast of many I've been on that there's never any notes. It's always just you and me just chatting.
I always think that's better. Just have like a conversation and you know, if we make a mistake, we can go back and correct it.
We haven't done that yet.
No, I mean a factual mistake.
Oh, we haven't done that yet either.
Well, I said 25-3 instead of 26-3.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
but I would have gotten 26-3 in a minute. In addition to women's basketball playing its first two games, the men play at home on Friday night, the debut of the video board, which should be pretty exciting.
And the bleachers.
Yeah. Practicing on the main court now with the video board, is that I've stood on the court with the video board, and it's much bigger than the old scoreboard, but I don't think it's any lower than the old scoreboard, which just sort of stretches longer across the court. But do you get a sense of that one? You know, does that go away when you start playing, or like
we play in so many arenas that it's for me? What's crazy is that they're putting the bleachers up as we, you know, everything's happening in live time. So not only do we have track athletes running and baseball players doing the stadiums and the men practicing and the women practicing at the same time, you have a massive construction project going on. So if nothing else, our kids are learning how to play in an away environment with the noise not in your favor. And I'm having to lose my voice a bit earlier in the season. But I think the upgrades, I know there's people that are curious. I think the upgrades are absolutely upgrades. And it's through the
video board's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And through the generosity of, you know, John Rogers being one of them, the lead donor on that, we're just so grateful that Jabwin looks much better. It's a much better place to watch a live basketball game.
Yeah, and the job that Cody Cruchel and John Bullis and Thelma Hughes and McCall Martin are doing to get all the content ready for it.
Including the banners. They all had to be moved because obviously the scoreboard is so big. They have to be moved way higher. Yeah, it's been a full, and then Anthony Archibald from our administrations had to deal with the relocating of women's basketball and men's basketball practices at times up to Dillon, and Dillon had to cooperate. It's been an incredible juggling act. But it's here, and I know the men, the first text I had when I woke up this morning was from Mitch wishing us luck today. And, you know, so there are two teams that are doing what we do. We support one another, and we practice hard, and we look forward to competing on the same color, which happens tonight.
And you get to compete tonight, I was going to say. Princeton at Rider, opening day. It's 7 o'clock tip-off in Lawrence, so about 6 miles down the road.
Yep, that's nice. A nice little away trip to get our young guys started.
Good luck in that one.
Thanks a lot, Jerry.
And we'll be back next Tuesday. We can talk about the first two games of the season at that point, Rider and George Washington on Sunday, and we'll look ahead to as the schedule starts to unfold. So, Courtney, thanks for being with us.
So glad to be here.
So, for Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Bankhart, I am Jerry Price, thanking you for being with us and thanking you for your support of Princeton women's basketball.